Good morning. This morning's scripture reading is taken from Judges chapter 4, verses 1 to 8a, 4 and 5. It's called Deborah. After you had died, the Israelites once again did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, the king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazbar. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites came to her to have their disputes decided. Here ends the reading.
The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God, and thanks to Brenda for reading. Little tiny snippet here. The story of Deborah is probably one of the possibly one of the longer ones in the Judges. She actually gets two chapters. One chapter tells the story, and the next chapter is the Song of Deborah. And to give you a little context, the book of Judges is a little bit different from everything else. Some books have similarities. Proverbs is kind of similar to Ecclesiastes in some way. Genesis, Exodus are similar to each other. Letters of Paul are similar to each other in certain ways. Judges is a little bit different. And the setting for Judges is the people had come into the land, and Moses had died, and Joshua had died, and the land was divided among the people, and each tribe had its own section of the land. And it was really just a loose affiliation of the tribes, which of course were pretty big by this time. We had the 12 tribes, and they were pretty spread out. And there were local areas where somebody or other would kind of be in charge, but mostly they just went on about their business. Everybody did what was good in his own eyes. This is kind of a theme of Judges. And as we might expect, that generally got them into trouble. And so the story of Judges is the story of this people without significant leadership, and they do get into trouble. They do fall away from the ways that they have been taught, and other nations come in and capture them and oppress them, take them away, take all their goods, whatever. And then the people would cry out to God, and God would say, "Okay, I'm going to give you a leader." This was a temporary leader. That's what the judges were. They were temporary leaders that God raised up for the purpose of rescuing the people. So this was generally a military leader. And it was often somebody very surprising. Not always, but sometimes it was somebody that you would not expect to be a leader, and especially a military leader. So this is the context. And one of these judges, only one, of course, was Deborah. She's the only female judge. But that's not all she is. The text that we've just read says that she was a prophet or prophetess, depending on how you want to translate it, same thing. And she was the wife of Lapidoth. We know nothing about him except his name, but it's significant that she is a wife. She is a wife, and yet she has this role of prophet. And also, it says she was judging Israel. And this does not mean that she was sitting on the bench and hearing cases brought to her and saying, "You're innocent, you're guilty, go away." It's more like what we're told about Moses when he was in the wilderness, and all the people were coming to him, and they were bringing all their disputes and complaints and arguments and problems to him. Because he was their leader. He was the wise man. He was the one who could give them an answer and tell them what to do. So it wasn't so much saying you're right and you're wrong, sort of like our present day judges that we think of, but it was more like an arbitrator or a mediator. So Moses would listen to the people and say, okay, here's what you need to do, and here's what you need to do, and go away and come up next. Now, part of this story is that Moses' father-in-law showed up and said, you know what? You are working way too hard. You need to appoint a whole bunch of helpers to handle all this little stuff. Now, some of these cases you really do need to see too, because you are the leader and some of them are a big deal, but you don't need to be listening to all these cases. So it was a big job. Now, Deborah's not doing it for the whole country of Israel, for all of the tribes. She's doing it in her area, but that's what she's doing. So this is pretty much a full-time job. So we have Deborah, who is a prophet. That's the first thing that we're told. She is a wife, and she is a judge. So a prophet is one who speaks for God. The prophet is one who shows up on the scene, sometimes out of nowhere, and says, "Thus saith the Lord." I mean, that is the prophetic opening phrase, "Thus saith the Lord." And sometimes those people would show up in a time of need and they would prophesy, they would talk to the king, they would talk to whoever God sent them to, and then when the situation was resolved, they would disappear. They would go back to their vineyards or their fields or whatever it was that was their day job. Now, some of the prophets were not like that. Some of the prophets showed up and began to prophesy, "Thus saith the Lord," and they stuck around forever. So you have somebody like Jonah in the first case. God says, "Go preach to Nineveh." Jonah says no, but Jonah does finally go. But then afterwards, Jonah disappears. He's called for that one circumstance. Some of the prophets are like that. But then there's people like Ezekiel and Isaiah, Jeremiah, and they're working and active for decades. They have definitely a full-time job, and it's a really hard job because it often involves not just going to the king and speaking, which is a hard thing to do. It also involves lying down on the ground for half a year, or other ways of enacting the message, essentially being the parable. So that can be a full-time job. So the second job that Deborah has, she has three jobs here, as far as the scripture goes. Second job is to be a wife. And many of us know that it is a full-time job to be a wife, and by wife I mean spouse. So whatever gender you happen to be, being married is a full-time job. Being married means that you have created a family. A family starts out as two, and it may or may not grow to more than two. But I think all of you know that that's a full-time occupation, because everything that you do is in the context of caring for your family, supporting for your family, doing the business of the family, buying groceries, paying the bills, arranging for education, transportation, cleaning the house. There's a lot of work involved in being a good family member. And presumably Deborah was, because she seems to be doing things well. And then number three, her third job is as the judge. And it looks like she's pretty much taken that on as a full-time job too, because she sits under the palm tree. It's known as Deborah's palm, and people who have issues to discuss, to bring before her, know where to come, they know where to find her, and she listens and she pronounces judgment. She says, "This is what you need to do. This is where you need to go, how you need to handle this." And presumably she did that well because they continued to come. Now, we haven't heard yet about any prophetic utterances of Deborah. And I am going to guess, I don't know about the order of these things, prophet, wife, and judge. I'm going to guess that they're not necessarily in order of importance, because all three of these are very important. I'm not sure I could put one above the other. And It might be random. I'm going to guess that it's a chronological thing. I'm going to guess that she had some experience as a prophet before she was ever married. That somewhere in her past, she had spoken for God and it was recognized that she had spoken for God and maybe didn't do that much since then, but I think that was something that started a long time before. And then she got married, so she's a wife. And then at some point, she also became a judge, and maybe that was part of her prophetic calling, was to be a judge. She's not the only person who fulfilled both of those roles, although it is rare. So we see her sitting under her tree and judging. And what we don't see, because we didn't read the rest of the chapter, is that after this, the word of the Lord does indeed come to her, and she goes to Barak and says, "Thus saith the Lord, you need to go and fight this battle," because, as the beginning told us, they had been sold into slavery. They had been conquered by the enemy. Their sins had caught up with them. And Deborah says, "This is the time. You must go and do this." So we've come full circle. We talked about her as a prophet and a wife and a judge, and now it comes back to her prophetic speech. And the story goes on to say that Barak believes her, but does not feel competent to do what God calls on his own. And so he requires the assistance of Deborah. So not only is she a prophet, not only is she a judge, she also becomes a military strategist and even a general. And the whole outcome is that the nation of Israel is, in fact, successful in this battle. And there's more graphic violence in the story of Deborah that I'm not going to get to. If you're interested, all you have to do is read chapter 4 of Judges. It gives you the whole story right there. And so, because of this woman, the history of Israel has changed. Chapter 5 is the whole song of Deborah and Barak, and it ends with the phrase, "Israel had peace for 40 years." That was what was achieved by Deborah. So she's remarkable for being a woman, fulfilling all these roles. And perhaps she's even more remarkable for being such a good judge, such an effective wife, such an honorable prophet, that she is able to change the course of Israelite history. Just an ordinary person. Male or female, doesn't really matter, but it is nice to know that she was recognized for who she was and what she did, even back in those very patriarchal days. So, never underestimate anyone. Never underestimate somebody because of their gender, because of their marital status, because of their education. Deborah could have been underestimated, but she wasn't. She was faithful, she was obedient. In many ways, she was ordinary, but she was extraordinary in following through. And history was changed and had 40 years of peace. We need more Deborahs in our world, especially these days. May it be so for us as it was so for her. Amen.